So this week we're getting started on Christmas sermons, and it's always hard to know what to preach for Christmas because there's so much. This is a defining event that we're talking about this time of year, not just for Christianity, but for all of mankind and all of eternity. You know what separates the first half of your Bible from the second half, right? Is that birth, when God steps down, when the Savior enters the world. And so whenever I think about preaching for Christmas, it's like, man, what do I cover? You know, what do I preach on this year? Because there's so much to cover. And part of it, I think, is Christmas is the best known Christian holiday in our world, right? You think of maybe second best is Easter. But you could go around probably in our world, in our country today, and ask people what Easter's about. And I guarantee there's a lot of them that probably just think it's about bunnies and eggs and things like that. But at Christmas time, we still have wise men, don't we? And Mary and Joseph and a manger and angels. We still have all those things around us. So whether people believe in it or not, our world still knows what Christmas is and why we celebrate it. And so it's the best known holiday. And so I got thinking this year, I said, you know, since it's the best known holiday, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna take a look at the best known verse in Scripture to celebrate this best known holiday. And so today, where we're going to be and where we're going to be for the next 3 weeks is John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. We're going to look at John 3:16 through verse 21, and that's going to be our passage for the next several weeks. So let me begin by reading that for you. John 3:16-21. It says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes into the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." Let me pray for us. Father, as we come today, I know there's a lot of things competing for our heart and for our attention. Some good things and some bad things going on in each one of our lives right now. And I know there's a lot of things that want to distract us from what it is that you have to say today. I know that the enemy would love nothing more than for each of us to be distracted from what it is that you want to share with us, what it is that you want to teach us from your word. And so, Father, I ask that you would bind our enemy, that you would clear our hearts and minds, and that you would speak loud and clear. Father, thank you for the truth that we're going to discuss today, the truth that has changed the world in eternity. Father, let us be attentive and let us be changed by what it is that you want to say today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about God's love brought light to the world. That's our next 3 weeks. God's love brought light to the world. Today, we're going to talk about just John 3:16. We're going to look at that one verse. And then in the next week, we're going to look at John 3:17-18. And then the week before Christmas, we're going to look at 19-21. So that's where we're going to be for the next 3 weeks. That's our Christmas sermons for this year. But like I said, today I want to just talk about John 3:16. I want to talk about it the way that I learned it when I was a kid. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." One of the most loved verses of all time because it sums up the whole gospel. That is the story right there. That is the gospel story in one verse. And one thing that makes this even more incredible is I don't know how your Bible's laid out for sure, but when I look at John 3:16, the letters are red in my Bible. You know who said this? Jesus said this. He's the one that said this. This is, like I like to say, this is Jesus's salvation theology. This is Jesus's theology here. And I love that he doesn't try to explain love. What he does is he shows us love. This is the kind of love that can only be put into action. You can't explain it. You can see it. You can see it in action. So today, I want to look very closely. We're going to look word by word through this beautiful passage of Scripture. And I can't think of a better Christmas verse than this one today. So, for God so loved the world. How many of you, if you were asked today to quote a verse, these would be the first six words out of your mouth? If somebody came up to you and said, hey, give me a Bible verse. Well, for God so loved the world, because we know that. But what I think is funny but maybe sad is that as well as we know this verse, how well do we know love? For God so loved the world, I can repeat that whole verse at the drop of a hat anytime you want, but do I know, when I say when God so loved the world, do I know the kind of love that that verse is talking about? Because we have a very different kind of love in our world today. The thing that we call love in our world today is not at all what we're talking about. Let me share with you what love is not. First of all, love is not blind. Have you ever got that one before? Love is blind. It's not. Not the kind of love we're talking about. And our world's begun to say like things like, if you love someone, then you let them live however they want. You don't judge them. You don't tell them what they should be doing if you love them. That's not love. That's not love. Maybe lust says those things. Maybe complacency says those things, but not love. Let me share with you godly love. This is the kind of love we're talking about in John 3:16. And that's that if you truly love someone, you care intimately about the things they do. You don't ignore the things they do. You don't turn a blind eye to their life and how they're living. You have an intimate investment in the way that they're living their lives and the things that they do. And if you love someone, you must approach them about the things that they're doing to hurt themselves or destroy themselves. Anything less is not love. The first time I preached on this verse, I used an example to drive home this point. It was 13 years ago, the first time I preached this verse. And the example I used was, if my little girl Elizabeth was running around the house with a knife, would I say, you know, Elizabeth's having a lot of fun running around with that knife. And I love her, and I don't want to ruin her fun. She was 3 years old at that time. So today, Elizabeth is 16 years old, and the other day we sat down and we had a conversation about, sweetheart, I make the rules I do because I love you. I care what you do and what you don't do because I love you. See, she's 16 and we still have that conversation. You know why? Because that's what love does. That's what love does. God loves us way too much to stand idly by while we destroy ourselves. God loves us way too much to stand by and watch us destroy ourselves. God will not turn a blind eye to the things that we do. Part of the reason that sin angers God is because sin destroys the ones that he loves. Sin destroys us. He may seem, when we approach God, it may seem that he's judgmental or legalistic, but everything he does and everything he says is because he loves us. And this includes, then, the incredible sacrifice that he has made. The lengths that God has gone to and the sacrifice that he has made to save us from our sins is what this verse and the whole gospel is all about. This is true love. Now, if you ever want to share John 3:16 with someone and you want to go into a little more depth, there's a great companion verse to John 3:16, and it's really easy to remember. It's 1 John 3:16, okay? So John 3:16, you bring them over and you show them 1 John 3:16, which says this, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us." That's it. That's how we know love. In fact, John talks about it again in 1 John 4:10. He says, love consists in this. Here's the definition. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what love is. That's what love is. And who is it that God loves? For God so loved the world. Does he love just good people? No. Does he love just the special people? No. God loved the world. The literal word that's used here is cosmos. That's like the most all-encompassing word that could possibly be used. God so loved every single person who ever lived, who ever does live, who ever will live. That's who God loves. God loves everyone this much. God loves everyone this much. With the godly love that we're talking about and every single person, this is how much he loves. That's the foundation for the rest of the verse. We have to understand that first before we can understand the rest of this verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. This is the gift that Christmas is about. This is the real gift. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Now, I think so often we think that God gave his son on the cross, huh? That's what we think about. When we think about John 3:16 and we say God gave his one and only son, I think we first think of the cross. And that's where that gift is. That's where he gave his son. But the sacrifice began when he stepped down and became a man. That's where the sacrifice began, because he felt all of our pain and all of our hurts and all of our sorrows, even 100 times more than we did, because he knows what it's like to live without that. That's where the sacrifice began. And he, when he stepped down, took all of those things on his shoulders. In fact, he's born in a stable. I don't know where you were born. Sherman Hospital in Elgin, Illinois. But I don't know anybody who's been born in a stable. See, that's where that sacrifice began. The sacrifice that culminated at the cross began in the manger. The sacrifice that culminated at the cross began in the manger. The other beautiful thing to think about is that God truly gave Christ to us. He was given as a free gift. He was not a prize. He was not a reward. We had absolutely no right to him. Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a gift. It's not something you're worthy of. It's not something you've earned. It's not something you deserve. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The other great thing is what's implied here. This great sacrifice is the only thing that can save us. If this is what God has done for our salvation, then this is what had to be done. This is the only way it could have been done. If our works could do it, Christ would not have come. He wouldn't have need to, right? Because it's on our shoulders. We have to do this. So if our works could accomplish it, Christ would not have come. If the Old Testament sacrifices, if following laws could have accomplished this, then Christ would not have come. If any man in history could have done it for us, then Christ would not have come. This was the only way. So desperate was our situation that God giving up his one and only son for us was the only way to bring us back to him. And that's exactly what God did. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him. This shows the complete and perfect work of Christ. Whosoever is the second all-encompassing word in here, right? God loved the cosmos so that any and every single person that comes to him, who believes in him. This salvation is truly for everyone, but it's only for the ones who receive it. That's the nature of a gift. That's how a gift works. If I come and I offer you a gift, I can stand there all day long holding it out. But when does it become your gift? When you take it. And you see, if I take a gift and I force it on you, is it a gift? It's not a gift any longer. You see, salvation is for everyone to receive. It is open to every single person. It is a gift. But the beauty of this gift is that Christ's work is complete. Everything he has done to save you from your sins, there is nothing left to do. There's no sacrifice, no works, there's no nothing that you can do. It is truly a gift. It depends nothing on you. It is given wholly out of his love for you. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I want you, as we read through this, if you're reading with me in your Bible, I want you to concentrate especially on verses 8 and 9 here, but I want to see this whole context because this explains everything that we're talking about in this gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 says, And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared ahead of time for us to do. He gives us a gift we did not earn. We cannot pay him back. All that is left is to reach out your hand and receive it. That's it. Nothing is left to be done. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you realize the gift that God gives us is actually twofold? I think we hear this phrase a lot of times, will not perish, but have eternal life. And we think of it as a redundant phrase, right? It's just saying the same thing. We will not perish, but we will have eternal life. But there's two sides to the gift that God has given us. We are exempt from hell and condemnation, and we are allowed into heaven and glory. Those are two different things. If you remember at the end of last week's sermon, I talked about the difference between mercy and grace, remember? We talked about the fact that mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. This is the gift. We should be punished, condemned, sent to hell because we're guilty of sin, but God does not punish us. That is mercy. We should be kept out of heaven and out of his glory, seated with Christ like we just read. We should be kept from that place because we've done nothing in all of our life to earn that. We are unworthy. But just as we read, God has seated us with Christ anyway. That is grace. Not perish, but have eternal life. The gift of God has brought us from the depths of hell and seated us in the kingdom of heaven. That's the gift. It has brought us from the depths of hell and seated us in the kingdom of heaven. You shall not perish, but instead, you'll have eternal life. What a wonderful verse, right? What a perfect Christmas verse. The mercy and grace of God, his perfect gift to us. God loved us so much that he could not allow us to continue in our sin. The only way to save us was to make the ultimate sacrifice, and that's exactly what he did for us. This gift is free, and it's open to absolutely everyone, the whole world. You can't earn it, can't buy it, you can't pay it back. You just have to take it. You just have to receive what he's giving you. Now, if you've never received that gift, don't let another day go by. Reach out today, take hold of the life that Jesus offers. And I can share with you how to do that. But I want to speak today especially to my brothers and sisters. If you've received this gift, then Christmas is evangelism central, brothers and sisters. What other time of the year is our entire world surrounded by the story of God becoming man? What other time of year do you walk into the department store and there's angels singing hallelujah on the speakers all around you? We have an incredible opportunity to share this story with everyone. I don't know if you watched the devotion this last week, but I was telling the story of Philip and the eunuch, and the eunuch was traveling along and he was reading from Isaiah 53, and Philip approaches him. He says, "Do you understand what it is that you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I understand it if no one explains it to me?" And so then Philip from that point goes, "Well, let me tell you." And he starts with that passage and he tells him the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity right now. When that song comes on and you say, "Hey, do you know what it means when it says, glory to God in the highest. Do you know what that means? I don't know what that means. It's just a Christmas carol. Well, let me share with you. Let me tell you what that's all about. You see, we've received this gift. This is the perfect season to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. How many times have you heard that already since Thanksgiving was over? This is the perfect time to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. How many times have you heard people sing that they don't even know what that means? The heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Brothers and sisters, we have an incredible opportunity to take this verse that we just talked about and share it with the entire world. Because right now, the story of God becoming man surrounds us on a daily basis. We don't have that opportunity very often in our world, but it's here right now. Let me end with this. The greatest gift you can give someone this Christmas is to tell them about the gift that God has given you. The greatest gift that you can give someone this Christmas is to tell them about the gift that God has given you. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come, I ask that you would fill our hearts with the kind of love that you have. Father, I ask that we would see the people around us. We would see the sinful lives that they live. We see the way that they're hurting and destroying themselves, and that would break our hearts. That we would have compassion for them. That we would love them enough that we would not want them to continue in that life. Father, fill us with the kind of love that is in your heart. That is such a powerful love that you sent your one and only Son, so that those of us who would receive that gift wouldn't perish, but we'd have eternal life. Father, you sent your Son, and yet we're so often unwilling to walk across the street to share that message. Father, fill us with the kind of love that refuses to let those around us continue to live in their sin, refuses to let those around us go through life not knowing about the gift that you have given all of mankind. Father, fill our hearts with your love and let us be messengers. Let us be heralds for your kingdom, for your gospel, for your story this season. Lord, let us start in that manger and share the story of salvation. Let us begin in that manger and tell everyone about the cross. Lord, do that work in us. Change our hearts. Make us a people who are willing to sacrifice in order to show your love and your salvation to all of those around us. Lord, this is a time, it's a season where we can very easily live selfishly or we can very easily sacrifice in order to build your kingdom. Let us be those who sacrifice. Let us be those who show true love. The one who gave his life for us. Let that spur us on to be ones who give our lives for one another. It's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you.